Welcome to Origin Gate's daily podcast called Wisdom's Echo. I'm Ray Hughes, and I'm going to be sharing with you today. And I want to talk to you about something that just kind of sparked in my mind and in my heart a few minutes ago when I realized that my opening is going to be Welcome to Origin Gate's daily podcast called Wisdom's Echo. Now, how do we echo wisdom? And what is this wisdom that we are to echo? Well, if you look at a common dictionary, you'll find things like, what is wisdom? Well, it's the ability or result of an ability to think and act, utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight, or accumulated knowledge, or enlightenment. All of those are words that play into man's definition of wisdom, and even some of those are obviously extracted right out of the Word of God. But wisdom can take a lot of forms, such as practical wisdom or philosophical wisdom, even benevolent wisdom. But the Word of God tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if you're lacking this beautiful thing that God has given us, if you're lacking wisdom, you should just ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to you. That, of course, that's just one of the Bible verses about wisdom and guidance that reminds us of the importance that, first of all, if we're going to walk in wisdom or gain wisdom or have a life of wisdom, it starts with asking God. In other words, we ask God to give us His view, show us His view. God, we want to be wise, so would you show us your perspective? Also, biblical wisdom invites people to a way of life that is in harmony with both the created order and God's redemptive work. Because in the Old Testament, see, wisdom is typically oriented around the fear of the Lord. And in the New Testament, wisdom is reoriented around the presence of Jesus. Well, if you look in the book of James, you know, it gives some really good insight into wisdom. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, or if you're self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. Wow, those are some pretty strong words. And it tells us there's heavenly wisdom. There's the kind of wisdom that God gives to those that will ask. But there's also, if you're reaching out and living out of bitterness or self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth of God's word. This wisdom does not descend from God. This is an earthly, sensual, demonic expression of the dark realm in the name of wisdom. For where there's envy and self-seeking exist, it says there's confusion and every evil work or every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above, and now here's what we need to hear. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield. Do you hear the overtones of humility there? Full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Look at the priority that it gives to humility and peace and purity and and a yielded heart, full of mercy, full of good fruits. Now, if you start back at the first of James chapter 3, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Critically important little verse there. "For we all stumble in many things, and yes, we do. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body." So here is it's starting to speak to the beginnings of an understanding of what it looks like when humanity stumbles. But we got to be careful not to be stumbling in word. Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Also, they are large, and they're driven by fierce winds. Well, yes, they are, but they are also turned by a very small rudder, it says there in verse 4. Wherever the pilot desires, that ship is going to go because he has control and authority over that little thing in the back there, that little rudder. And even so, it goes on to say, James says, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body if we're not careful, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow, what a strong word. But for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, they're all tamed and have been tamed by mankind in one sense or another. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. I'll tell you, the things that we see in the world today, it's so easy for us to begin to curse the things that move us so deeply and challenge us so deeply. I just cannot believe the things that are going on in this world. And then pretty soon we work ourselves up to some lather of aggravation, and we want to start ranting and raving. But there's still if we're going to walk in wisdom, it's first got to be pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield. That's where we got to find ourselves, in that blessing, not in the cursing. "My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water," in verse 11, "and bitter from the same opening?" Yet there's a righteous indignation that rises up in me. And sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll look at what's going on around me and I'll begin it will suddenly become no longer a righteous indignation. It's just straight up anger. We got to be careful with this when we're being bombarded by all of these cursible things. "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." And then we find ourselves back to where we began. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show." We're going to show our wisdom and our understanding by the good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in our hearts, I'll tell you, it's a critical time right now, a pivotal time, let me say. I don't want to walk in the wisdom of this world, because that's the kind of wisdom that it does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and one more time, let's consider this word. It can even be demonic. I want to be speaking by the power of God and the wisdom of the one I fear most. You know, if you look over in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, there's a guidance for a young man is being spoken here, and the writer says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." He goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And you know what he'll do? He'll direct your paths. So do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Remember over there in James what we were just reading, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That is not the wisdom we're looking for. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And there also in Proverbs 3:9 it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now look at all these things that denote wisdom to a young man. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he's going to correct, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. Happy is the man. Now, here's the key. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Who is she? She's wisdom, and all the things that you desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. See how that reflects again what was saying, being spoken over there in James about first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And here it is now back in Proverbs. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. I think this is just powerful. I think it's just beautiful how this wisdom is being awakened. In other words, this father is saying, son, first marry wisdom. My son, let these not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk in safety in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. Boy, there's a lot of wickedness and trouble in the world today. But the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it's in the power of your hand to do so, do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come back, and tomorrow I'll get you." When you have it with you already, do not devise evil against your neighbors, for he dwells by you, for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. In other words, don't go around starting trouble. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is up with the upright. So seek that secret counsel from God. Ask of him. Look, it says the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. Now here's the last verse. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame will be the legacy of fools. We cannot be fools today, guys. We have got to be those that embrace, ask of the Lord for that wisdom. We've got to be the ones who seek the wisdom that is from above, and that's the one that's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, may the fruit of righteousness that is sown in peace by those who make peace be yours. Hey, gotta go. See you next time.